look at Ephesians chapter 6. We're talking on spiritual warfare. And this particular lesson tonight is continuing on with the Ites had it. Ites had it. Had, H-A-D. Don't have it anymore. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praise God. Now, we've been teaching on spiritual warfare, and we've been talking about the enemy's involvement in this world and how Satan has come to rule the world. Let me have my notebook out of that bag. I just put it in there. I need it back out, please. An enemy has come to rule the world. And he refers here to rulers of darkness of this world. And these rulers of darkness here are really demon spirits, fallen angels, that are in this world, that have come in this world to take control of this world. Now, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to talk a little bit about that so that we can, again, come back to a place where we are right now. But I want to kind of bring you up and take you on a little bit of a journey, but we're going to get there. But men don't rule the world. Satan does. Now, that's kind of a caption. Now, we know that the church is in the world today, and the church is in the world really to take over rulership of the world. I've said that before, and hopefully you can, as I keep going through here, you'll catch hold to it. But he said, be finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Okay? Now, I heard one man say it, and I think it best describes some things, that we don't fight the devil. We fight the good fight of faith. Now, the devil is already defeated, but what we have to do in this earth is come in this earth and enforce a victory that has already been won. Okay? Now, let's go to, again, to John, 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. All right, 1 John chapter 4. And look here at verse 19. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Now, I told you, if you would get another interpretation of the Bible, you can see it being interpreted like this. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. The whole world is under the control of the evil one. Now, let's verify that. Let's come back to Ephesians chapter 2, please. I'm back to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, I'm going to have you turn fairly quickly here because I'm not going to be here all night. But I'm going to give you this, and I want you to run with it. And I don't want you to be, you know, so lax and go to these things very quickly. Verse 1 of chapter 2 of Ephesians. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in trespasses and sins. Now, that's talking about us, the church. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So there's a spirit working in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Now let me have the Amplified. I'm going to read that again out of the Amplified translation, because again, I don't want you to miss any understanding of what I'm about to share with you tonight. Here again, I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. And you hath he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we, as well as you, once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imaginings. We were then by nature children of God's wrath and heirs of his indignation like the rest of mankind. So you see here, he is saying that you were obedient to and under the control of demon spirit that still constantly worked in the sons of disobedience, the rebellious, the careless, the unbelieving. So unbelieving people are governed by spirits. And the spirits that govern them are the spirits or demon spirits sent by Satan. So now Satan has his own, if you will, using people to form his body. Just like you have the body of the anointed one, Satan has members of his body. And they are forming this mystery Babylon. They're forming this body. They're the ones that are under the sway of it. And if a person is in unbelief, is rebellious and so forth, they're under the sway of that. Now, I don't care how much money they claim they have. If you see them and they start and they're seemingly rich in this world and so forth, and they start giving into the gospel huge amounts of money, if Satan has set them up there, I guarantee you they won't have that money long, because he uses them as a reservoir to trap the large monies and so forth to hold those monies back. Now understand, Proverbs 13:22 says the wealth of the who? Sinner is laid up for the righteous. It's laid up for us because we have to get that wealth to distribute it. I told you on Sunday that through Abraham was all the nations of the earth to be blessed. You see, God was going to use us to be a distribution center for the nations. He's going to use us to relieve the pressure of the poor. He's going to use us to provide a home for the orphans. He's going to use us, all of that. But it takes money. And the Bible says the rich rule over the poor and the borrower is servant to the lender. That tells me right there, it is impossible for us to reign or rule in this human system without financial empowerment. Even God said this. He said that I am he that giveth thee power, come on, to get wealth. Why? So that I might establish my covenant, which I swore unto thy fathers as it is this day. You see, he never intended for us to rule and rule without the money. Never intended for that to happen. All right, now, let's look at this, because as we go here, the enemy now in these last days. Well, let me just take you through it, and perhaps you can get some revelation out of it yourself, and you can got to get there even before I get there. Let's go back first to the garden. Let's go back to Genesis, and Genesis chapter 1. Are you there? Come on now, it don't take you long. You get to Genesis chapter 1. God knows it don't take long. That's a demon. Man, flip over there to Genesis chapter 1. It don't take that long to get there. All right, look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So notice, God made man and gave him dominion. Dominion means to rule it, for him to man to take possession of it, take ownership of it, to manage the earth. Look what it said in verse 27. So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And then God did what to them? He blessed them. He empowered them to prosper and gave and said unto them, God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Now these are the first words that Adam heard. Replenish, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. Notice what he said. He said unto them. He said unto them. He's talking to them now. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, here's God creating mankind. Then God takes the man and puts him in the garden. But let's put some right there at that place in Genesis. And come over with me to Luke's gospel, if you will. And let's go over to the first part of Luke. I think it's Luke chapter 1. No, chapter 2. Pardon me, chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. Come on. Okay, Luke chapter 3. Now, in Luke chapter 3, here is the genealogy. All right? Verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli, which was the son of Matthat, which was the son of Levi, which was the son of Melchi, which was the son of Jana, which was the son of Joseph, which was the son of Mattathias, which was the son of Amos. Now he's going on down, am I right? Let's go all the way down to verse 38. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Adam was the son of God. All right? Let's go back over again to Genesis again. Okay? So now God has his son. And Adam, the son of God, was a federal head of humanity, meaning that Adam had the seed, and Adam's seed was producing after its own what? Kind. Okay? So he's going to produce what he was. So now he puts him in the garden, tells him don't eat of that tree, certain trees. And chapter 3, come on just with me, then the serpent was most subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, this serpent said that. Now, who was behind the serpent saying that? Satan. Satan took the body of a who? A serpent, and began to speak or possess this serpent, and this serpent began to speak to Eve. Now, Eve then followed this and ate of the tree, and then Adam ate of it. The Bible says their eyes then were open. I told you about that. Once their eyes were open, the eyes were already open. That's where Eve saw the fruit. But it's saying the spiritual eyes now were closed, but the natural eyes were open. So all those things. Now, understand, when their spiritual eyes closed up, now the discernment is gone. In other words, they're looking at half the picture. They can only look at the physical part of the picture. The spiritual part of the picture they couldn't see anymore. You got it? Okay, so now here's Adam. He's stumbling around in this earth. Now he's busy, he and Eve hiding from God, and then God comes down, and then he begins to talk to them. But look what God said, verse 14. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Above the belly, thy belly shall thou go, and dust shall thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and what? Her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, unto the so forth and so on. Now, underline, and her seed. and her seed. All right? Now, God has spoken. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now, Satan knows how God operates. Whatever God says is so. If God came here right now, he said, today, from now on, is Tuesday. You got what I'm saying? It will be so. All right. Verse, chapter 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now the Lord is describing here the fallen state of mankind. Okay? My thoughts are not your thoughts. You're not thinking like me anymore. Now Adam did before the fall. But now he's not. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Underline, my word, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. God is saying, if my word is released, it will not return to me without doing what it said. Got it? Okay? Satan knows that about God. That's God's character. He cannot lie. So when he says, the seed of a woman is going to bruise your head, Satan can take it to the bank. He knows it's true. He knows it's true. Now, he doesn't know how it's going to happen. And the same thing about you. When God says something about you in the Word of God, you don't know how it's going to happen. But when God says something that he's going to deliver you, that he's going to give you victory and so forth, you better take it to the bank. Say, praise God, I'm not going to doubt it. See, Satan don't doubt it. He's trying to keep it from coming to pass, but he knows what God says is so. You got it? All right, now, let's go back. And let's go back over to Genesis chapter 6, please. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Let me know when you get there. All right, in Genesis chapter 6, I'll start off. It says, and it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So this is evil starting to be multiplied. And so the spirits that now were in this earth, as they occupied this earth, caused this to have sexual relationships with the women that were in this earth, and they produced a race of giants. Now, this race of giants that they produced were called men of renown. Now, I want you to see this, because now the seed of Satan is now producing to take over the earth. But God had already spoke that a seed of a woman is going to bruise his head. All right. Now, so let's go to Numbers, if you will. And Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Numbers chapter 13. If you haven't said, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Now this is when Joshua, when Moses sent 12 spies as far as the land of Canaan. Now they came back. And this was their report, verse 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Now, this land was called Canaan, or the Promised Land. Say Promised Land. The Promised Land is the land that God gave them. And they went and came unto Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them, unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of this land. Now understand, the fruit of this land was so big, look at verse 23, and they came to the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. These grapes were so big, until one cluster they had to put on a stick between two men to carry this thing. This is the land that God gave to his people. Verse 27, and they told him and said, we came into this land which you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in this land. Now understand, we read, be strong in the who? Lord, and in the power, come on, of his might, not your might. And the cities were walled, and very great. And moreover, we saw the children, come on, of Anak there. Now, underline children of Anak. The Amalekites dwell in the land to the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Now, notice they were talking about all these ites that dwell in this land. Now let's just turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy and chapter 7, please. Deuteronomy and chapter 7. I think we can start there. And let me know when you get there. When the Lord thy God shall bring you into the land where whether thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, the who? Hittites, keep going. The Girgashites, keep going. The Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the Parasites. No. Jebusites. Seven nations, watch this now, greater and mightier than you are. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly do what to them? Destroy them, and thou shalt make no what? Covenant or agreement with them, nor do what? Show any mercy to them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Don't marry nobody unsaved. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter thou shalt not take to thy son, for they will do what? Turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. Now, let's just stop right there. So we see in this particular situation that he is talking about all these ites that are dwelling in this land. Let's go to chapter 9, please. Oh, hear, Israel. Hear, O Israel. Thou art to pass over Jordan this day to go in and possess nations greater and mightier than thyself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. Are you with me so far? A people, what? Great and tall. Put something right there, please. Right there. Let's just see how tall these people are. Let's go over to, glory to God, hallelujah. Just a minute. I got all that. I didn't put that down here. Devil, you a liar. All right, let's just see how tall they are. Let's go back to Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 3, please. Hello. Come on, we got to see how tall they are. Look at verse 10. And all the cities of the plain, and all Gilead, and all Bashan, unto Salcah and Edrei, cities of the kingdom of who? Og, in where? Bashan. For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Raboth of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man. Now, the length of his bed in the regular feet was 18 feet long, and the width of it was 3 times. I don't know how wide it was, but praise God. I looked it up, but I don't know. I ain't got time for it. But it was wide. It's wide. Praise God. Take my word for it. Now, in other words, it's a good size brother. Now, hold on now, because I want to do something here, because somehow I got myself kind of behind. Okay. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 2. Now, I know I went over this, but I'm getting somewhere. I want to show you the eyes had it. Deuteronomy 2, 10 and 11. Have you got it? The Emims dwelt therein in time past, a people, what? Great and many, and what? Tall as the who? Anakims. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. That also we was encountered a land of giants. Giants dwelled therein in old time, and the Ammonites call them Zemzumims. Verse 21. A people what? Great and many, and what? Tall as the who? Anakims. But the Lord destroyed them before them and succeeded, so forth and so on. Now, the thing that I'm trying to get over to you now is that you had a land that was occupied with giants. And if you'll do a study, you will see that the giants had every entrance into the promised land blocked. That the different kind of Anakims, Emims, Rephaims, Avims, Zamzumiums, Zumzums, all of them had it blocked. As a matter of fact, the Rophaims had Jerusalem occupied. They had that whole piece blocked. So the giants had possessed this land. They were living on it. Now what they were going to have to do is they were going to have to go out and dispossess the giants. They're going to have to get them off of this land. Now, they were occupying this land, and God said something in the New Testament. Now come on over there. Praise God. Y'all still with me, aren't you? All right. Look at Matthew chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The ites had it. I'm not done with this because I want to go down some history first. Now, in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, "Who do they say that I am?" All right. Then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Verse 17. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this what? Rock, I'll build my what? Church. And the gates of what? Hell shall not prevail against it." Now, prevail against it means it won't stop its forward progress. So no matter how many giants are guarding this land, that God said, he said this, "I'm going to build a church that the gates of hell, everything that Satan could put up to try to block your entrance for coming in to possess this land that I have given you, nothing will be able to stop you." Now, then he said, verse 19, "And I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth," come on, "shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you shall," come on, "loose on earth shall be" what? "Loose in heaven." Now, what am I saying? The devil had produced an ungodly race of people. And now he's doing everything to intimidate, everything to keep us out of the promised land. Now God is now going to produce a new race. He said that it will come from the seed of a woman. All right. If that be the case, let's go to Exodus chapter 1, please. Exodus chapter 1. Now you're going to have to turn with me pretty quick now because we're winding down and so forth. Praise God. Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1. Let me know when you get to Exodus chapter 1. All right. Look at verse 22. Hold it. Look at me. Look at me. The children of Israel were now in Egypt. Joseph had been there, been raised up, and now he's got provisions for the world when the world had gone into famine. And now the children of Israel moved down there. So they multiplied. And they're continuing to multiply. Now the Egyptians feel threatened. And so now, look, there was a Pharaoh now being raised up who didn't know Joseph. Joseph had died and didn't know Joseph. Now, look what this Pharaoh is going to do to the children. Watch this. Verse 21. "And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that he made them houses. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." Now, he's talking about the Hebrews. Well, you can read the rest of that when you get to him. He's talking about the Jews, the Hebrews. He's saying, every son that's born of them, throw him in the river. Every daughter, keep them alive. But every son, the seed of a woman, is going to bruise my head. So every son that's born, kill it. Kill it. Now I'm letting you see this because he knows it's coming. But he don't know whether it's coming down Roosevelt Road. Come on, First Avenue. But it is coming. All right, so now the next thing that happens is it's being prophesied now. Come on over here to Isaiah and Isaiah chapter 7, please. Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Let me know when you get there. All right, in Isaiah chapter 7, now watch this now. Jesus said, "You have killed the prophets." Why did he say that? Because they had. Why were the religious people killing the prophets? Okay. Now, here's the deal. Satan was behind it. Because God never does anything in the earth without speaking it first. So once a prophet speaks it, God will do it. Boy, I'm preaching better than you saying amen. Once a prophet speaks it, it is loosed and the devil can't get it out. It shall come to pass. My word will not return unto me void, but it shall prosper in whatever I send it to do. The word's got enough power in it to bring itself to pass. You can't bring it to pass. That's why all you got to do is stand. When you've done all you can do to stand, come on, stand. Because if you stand and hold that word and won't give it up, it shall, glory to God, come to pass. All right, look what the prophet said. Ready? The prophet's prophesying now. His name is Isaiah. Verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. Where did he get that from? Where did he get it from? God. God is speaking through a man. Why? Because a man's got dominion over here. A man's got authority in the earth. No, God's got all power. We know that. But he gave this earth over to a man. It's got to be people that's got to say it. So when you want something to happen, get your mouth to moving. Say something, because God can't do it without a word. Coming over to Isaiah chapter 9. Come on, Isaiah chapter 9. Let me know if you got there. Are you there? Verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is what? Given. And the government shall be upon whose shoulder? His shoulder. And his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Keep going. Counselor. Come on. The mighty God. Come on. The everlasting Father. Keep going. The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, come on, there shall be no end. In other words, there was a government that'd been set up down here that was a demonic government, that was a government that was gone only because men had fallen and haven't been able to hook up with God, and the devil used them to establish his kingdom. But there's a new kingdom coming. Jesus said, pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A new government. Somebody said there's a new sheriff in town. Jesus was on his way. Now, glory to God. I'm getting excited myself. Now, Daniel prophesied, Daniel chapter 2, I don't have time to go there. He said there's going to be a mountain hewed out without hands. And when he said without hands, what did he mean? It's by grace. And he's talking about you. The mountain is the anointed one and his anointed. You are his anointed. You are the church. You are the body of, come on, Christ, the anointed one. You are anointed because the anointing that's on the head has now come on the body. But then he said, it's going to spread throughout the whole earth. In other words, you're going to take over. I know that some religions and Hinduism and Islam and all of that, but saints, we're coming into our time. It called the word of God will not return void. It shall prosper in whatever God sent it to do. Now, so what happened? Come on to Micah. Micah chapter 2, please. Micah chapter 2. Now, if people have to go, just let them go. Don't even be moved by them. They have to take care of something. I'm taking care of this. Micah chapter 5. Micah chapter 5, please. Praise God. Don't worry. When the famine hit, they're going to come over your house to get something to eat. All right, look what it says in Micah chapter 5. Look at verse 2. Have you got it? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be, what? Ruler in Israel. His going forth have been from old, from what? Everlasting. Who do you think he was prophesying about? Jesus. He said, look, Bethlehem, Jesus is going to come out of you. See, there were several Bethlehem, just like there's Memphis, Tennessee, and there's Memphis, Egypt. He's talking about specific Bethlehem, Bethlehem of Ephrathah. He said, the seed is going to come right out of you. That's where he's going to be born. All right, then turn to Luke real quick. And Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Glory to God. Lord, have mercy. Are y'all getting something out of this? All right, am I? Let me know when you get there. Luke chapter 2. Come on. Hello. Look at verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be what? Taxed. Now understand, the Roman government was running the whole world. Watch this. And his taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called what? Bethlehem, because he was of the house of the lineage of David. So he was going back to his own hometown to pay his taxes. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. What do I mean, great with child? Great with child. That's what I mean. She's going to have that baby anytime. Verse 6. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. All those people were in that hometown to be taxed. All the hotels, the Ramada, the Quality Inn, Hilton, come on, Ritz-Carlton, all them were occupied. They didn't have anywhere to go. This woman had to have this baby. And they ended up in a manger. And that's where she had the baby. But the key was she had the baby in Bethlehem. Well, what got her to Bethlehem? Well, the Caesar taxed the people, but true enough, he taxed them, but he taxed them right on time. Can't you see? God will use a heathen and he don't even know he's being used because God's word, y'all better hear what I'm saying. This word shall come to pass. Folks, if he said something to you, stand on it. If you find it in here, stand on it. That's your promised land. There are giants that are going to try to fight you, but the battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. When you've done all you can do to stand, come. So now, Matthew chapter 2, please. Lord have mercy. Come on, quickly. I'm out of time. Come on. Matthew chapter 2. Satan knows the power of the word. He knows it. He just doesn't want you to know it. If it's spoken, it shall come to pass. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Right there. That messed with Herod right there. Born what? King. Herod said, wait a minute, I'm the king. I'm the only king up in here. For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, folks, they didn't come with a little box of incense, a little piece of gold, and so they had donkeys staggering with gold. Okay? That's what upset Herod. It got the attention of the whole city. Then, verse 7, Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, he inquired of them diligently, "Well, what time did the star appear?" And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Is that right? No. The devil's going to try to use Herod to kill the seed. He's still after that seed now. Verse 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, say into the house, not a manger. It was about 2 years later. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented to him gifts of what? Gold, keep going, frankincense, and myrrh. See, they were from another royal kingdom. They were from another government. I experienced this one time when I was down at, and looking at some, I was down at Gulfstream. Gulfstream makes a nice corporate jet. And I was down preaching in Savannah, Georgia, and somebody said, "Would you like to go visit, tour Gulfstream's plant while you're here?" I said, "Yeah, I sure would like to do that." So they took me over there to tour the plant. I took, saw all them airplanes, and I laid hands on them, brasataraba, you know. Well, I got back, and the person who led me on the tour called me, said, "Pastor Winston, how did you enjoy your tour?" I said, "That was great." I said, "Let me ask you, who was the biggest, one of the biggest buyers of your airplane? Because these airplanes cost, a new one costs you $45, $50 million. And I said, "Well, who is a new big one, one of the biggest models they make?" And I said, "Who is the," he said, "Well, the Sultan of," I won't mention the name. And I said, "Oh, is that right?" He said, "Well, what did he do?" He said, "Well, he buys two or three at a time." I said, "Two or three at a time? Well, what does he do with two or three at a time?" "Well, when he visits his other royal friends, he takes a gift." That gift that he takes is supposed to represent the prosperity of his kingdom. And when you take a cheap gift, it means that you got a cheap kingdom. And nobody wants to have a cheap kingdom. That's why the gifts were gold on donkeys, staggering. The Bible was Peter Daniels came here, said he had to hire some people to do a study. And the study was, they came up with the amount of gold that they brought in today's currency was about $400 million worth. So Jesus wasn't broke from birth. All right, let's go on down. Verse 13. And when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee to where? Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to do what to him?" He won't try to kill him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." See, everything Jesus did was already prophesied, because God can't do anything in the earth unless he speaks it first. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew what? All the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof, from what? 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. See? He slayed all the kids again. That's the devil killing everybody. Why? Because that seed is coming. All right, let's work to a close now. All right? So now, notice what happened. In the fullness of time, the Bible says in Galatians 4:4, Jesus Christ was born. Now, what did he do? He came in this earth. In Luke chapter 2, 12 years old, he astounded even the religious leaders. Now, in Luke chapter 4, he started his ministry. He introduced himself. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor." He also told them to repent, and for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Everything that Satan did to people, Jesus reversed it. If they got their arm amputated, he grew one back. If they got the eye put out, blindness, he made them see. If they got, all they had to do is believe. Say, all I have to do is believe. Now, there is no limit to what God can do if you'll only believe. Now, let's just look at that real quick now, real first. Let's go to Mark's Gospel chapter 9. I'm on my way out. Now, give me just 2 minutes. Can you give me 2 minutes? Come on, can you give me 2 minutes? Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. This is Jesus talking now. What is he doing? He's taking us back up to where Adam was before the fall. Mark chapter 9. I'm going to give you a vital piece of information, and I'm going to show you one of these ites, and we go. Have you got it? Mark chapter 9, verse 23. Read it with me. Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believe. All right? Let me give you the words that you should know. When you believe, your mind and heart, by the assistance of the Holy Ghost, finds a way to help you when you believe. When you don't believe, your mind goes to work for you to prove that it is not so or why it will not happen. Did y'all just follow that? So if I believe, I can go to sleep at night, confessing the word, and sleep and rise, but my spirit doesn't sleep, and the Holy Spirit is trying to get away to me that this thing can happen. But if I don't believe, then the forces of my mind will start working to prove that it cannot happen. Now, what God can do for you and what's possible for you is solely based on what you believe. So if I can believe it, it's going to be possible. With God, come on, all things are possible. All right, let me just go through one of these ites and we'll stop it right there. One of these ites is, glory to God, one of these ites, hold on, please, don't move. Is a parasite. Parasite. Now, the parasite is called a robbing spirit. Each one of these ites is a type of spirit. A robbing spirit works mostly on offense. He is a spirit that, Lord have mercy, Proverbs 25, real quick. Proverbs 25. He's a spirit that tries to get you mad. He is working with your emotions and your ignorance to try to get you mad or put out with someone, which will guarantee that you won't come in. Now, he comes to steal and dispose of what you have built. Now let's look at Proverbs 25. Look at verse 28. He that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without, come on, walls. So what happens is this spirit tries to keep you offended. See, some things happen in your past But if you don't let them go, then that spot in on you is tender. See, come on now, I'm helping you. If somebody's got a growth or something, that thing gets tender. Well, it's the same thing on your spirit. And so any time Satan wants to stop you, he knows where your tender spot is. And he sends some circumstances or somebody to push your button. And a city that's broken down without walls. Well, the reason why the walls of Jerusalem had to be built, the reason why the walls of the promised land was high, is to keep the enemy out. Not to keep them from coming out. Keep the enemy out. And I'm saying in your life, there has to be walls built. Say amen to that. These are things that guard you and guard your mind. But when those walls are down, here comes the devil. Watch this. At will. At will. He comes right in, assaults you. You get offended, lose the ground that you gained. If I call this preacher's name, everybody in here would know it. But what he told me, he said he was going and having meetings in different cities. And so they were carrying signs outside. So-and-so, don't believe in the blood of Jesus and so forth. And he said it made him mad, you know. And he kind of come against the people who were carrying the signs. Said, why are you doing that and so forth and so on? And God got him in prayer. So let me tell you something. He said, you're going to have to stop getting offended. He said, every time I move you two steps forward, you get offended and move right back to where you were. So some of y'all been circling around the same mountain for years because that ite knows where that pressure point is. And every time you get to the door of your blessing, here it comes, back where you were before, and you what? Because you're still in your past. You refuse to let God come in and heal you. And he will not force his way into your life. You have got to let him in. Jesus is a healer. And the thing that the devil tries to get you to do is cover it up and act like you all right. And you ain't all right. You got to lance that wound. You got to open that thing up. You got to let the healing power and the balm of Gilead come in and fix that wound, and you'll be healed forever. That ite will not keep you out no more. When you're trying to go in, the ites are right there. And they are at every entrance to the promised land. They are right there and they're waiting on you to come. And what you got to do is you got to get over your past. You say, wait a minute, the past is past. Now, that's just one ite. Another ite is this Hevite or Havite. And that's an ite that tries to deceive you. That's an ite of deception. And I'm not going to go into that right now, but he'll try to hook on with you as a business partner. And he ain't no business partner. He's one coming to get you unequally yoked so that the anointing of God won't run in your life and that you can't get your promises. But I got good news for you. God has given us anointing so that we can see that devil and be able to run him out of our lives. Give the Lord a praise. That's all we got. Hey!